received this command from my Father. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thanks, Cindy, for reading. Let's bow our heads and pray. Our Father, we do praise you for your word. And we pray, Lord, that you would help us to hear your voice. Help us to obey your voice. And help us to delight in your voice. We pray for your glory and our good. Amen. Well, as I said at the start, we are working our way through the I am sayings of Jesus in John's Gospel. And today we're looking at the saying, I am the good shepherd. I don't know about you, but when I hear the words, I am the good shepherd, I think of this picture. Here it is. I think my nan had it on her wall as when I was a kid. And it comes into my head, Jesus, this good-looking bloke with blonde locks, his manscaped beard, his pedicured hands, his Gucci toga. And if you look at the rest of the painting, he has beautiful, pristine feet. Now, let me tell you, this guy isn't shepherding anything. Look at the sheep. They're obediently following him. If you know anything about sheep, sheep do anything except follow someone. They are crazy. Dexter, my son, and I once had to shepherd one sheep. We had to get one sheep out of this massive field here into this massive field here. We were helping a friend of ours who owned a small farm. And this sheep just went everywhere. It did not follow us like Mr. Gucci here. It just went everywhere. Sheep are a cross between the most disobedient animal that ever existed and an escape artist. They are ridiculous. When God called us sheep, he wasn't paying us a compliment. So there is no way that this guy that comes into my head is shepherding any sheep. But yet, I reckon that when we hear the phrase, I am the good shepherd, some form of this guy comes into our head. You might have come into your head the blonde locks, the Gucci toga, or you might even have the theme tune of the Vicar of Dibley playing in your head. The Lord is my shepherd. Do you get that? Now, the problem with that view of the good shepherd, the blonde manicured view of Jesus, is that that image isn't going to do anything to save you. He isn't going to wrestle sin to the ground. He isn't going to crush death. He won't put his life on the line for you. The only thing that he's interested in doing is his nails. And you see, the deep-seated, real spiritual problem of this view of Jesus is that he does not shepherd us. We shepherd him. When you have got a manicured, pedicured, Gucci view of Jesus, we shepherd him. In the good times, he is our cheerleader. When we're rocking life, he is our cheerleader, saying, go, Andy, you did a great job there. And in the bad times, he is our genie, Jesus. We rub the lamp and we say, come on, Jesus, help us out of this one. And when he doesn't, we give up on Jesus. We give up on the real Jesus because we've had this genie Jesus or this cheerleader Jesus and we've had this manicured, pedicured Jesus. And just maybe that is the problem with our view of Jesus this morning. Maybe that is the problem, that we have got the wrong, unbiblical, abiblical view of Jesus as the good shepherd this morning. You see, when we hear the words, I am the good shepherd, we're not meant to think of the Gucci Jesus. We're meant to think something more like this guy. Here you go, Russell Crowe in Gladiator. That is a shepherd you want to follow. He is a shepherd who is a warrior. He is strong and he is tough and he is courageous. And he will fight for you, this shepherd. When Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, we're meant to hear the words, I will protect you. I will put my life on the line for you. I will crush death. I will smash sin. I will sweat blood for you. I'll go to the cross for you, to die for you, so that you might rise like me. And we're meant to say, I'll follow you through thick and thin, Jesus. Not because of some religious compulsion, but because you are the warrior shepherd king who crushes death and smashes sin. Because you have my back, Jesus. You are the good shepherd. That's the kind of shepherd we're meant to think of when we hear the words, I am the good shepherd. Now, when we have that view of Jesus as the good shepherd, this warrior, tough, courageous shepherd, that'll change us forever. That'll change our lives dramatically. So as we look at this familiar I am saying, I've got three things that I want us to take away this morning. Three things that should help us to delight in Jesus, and three things to help us follow Jesus and declare Jesus. And in true pastor style, preacher style, they all begin with P. Three things all begin with P. Firstly, I want us to see a portrait. Then I want us to see a promise. And lastly, I want us to hear a proposal. A portrait, a promise, and a proposal. So firstly, a portrait. And let's pick up the action in verse 11 of chapter 10 of John. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep sees the wolf is coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because a hired hand does not care for the sheep. See, when Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, it's important to remember that he is painting as much a picture of what he isn't as what he is painting a portrait of what he is. Our action in John 10 takes place after our action in John 9. And John 10 follows immediately after a miraculous healing of a blind man. And following that miraculous healing of the blind man, there is a beef between Jesus and the religious leaders. The Jewish religious leaders put the healed man and his family on trial. They put him on the witness stand and they demand that he testify against Jesus. And you can read back over the weekend, you can see that they are threatened by Jesus. And so they try to spin the narrative and say that the miracles that Jesus are doing, he is doing because he is evil and because he is of the devil. And because he's trying to corrupt and lead people away from God. So when Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, he is speaking into the attempts of these Jewish religious leaders who are trying to discredit him as this kind of charlatan shepherd. And the way that Jesus does that is he taps into this teaching from the Old Testament prophet Ezekiel. And we heard Cindy read it out to us. And what Ezekiel does is he speaks against the religious leaders of God's people Israel and speaks against them as the bad shepherds. And when Jesus says, I'm the good shepherd, what he's saying is, he's saying, I am not a bad shepherd. Let me read from Ezekiel 34 again. Ezekiel 34 says, woe to the shepherds of Israel who have been feeding themselves. Shouldn't the shepherds feed their flock? You eat the fat, wear the wool, and butcher the fattened animals, but you do not tend the flock. You have not strengthened the weak, healed the sick, bandaged the injured, brought back the strays, or sought the lost. Instead, you have ruled with violence and cruelty. See, when Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, he is saying, I am not one of those bad shepherds. And what he's doing when he says, I am the good shepherd, he is making both a political statement and a religious statement. And here in John's gospel, he drops this line and starts a revolution over the Jewish religion. He turns the accusations of the Pharisees back against them and says, "You are the bad ones. I'm not the evil one. You are the evil one. You are the hired hands," he says, "who do not shepherd the sheep, who run away when danger comes." John 10, verse 7, he says, "You are the ones who are thieves and bandits." I love that word, bandits. Thieves and bandits. And he's speaking against these religious leaders of the day who were meant to be the caretakers of God's people. They were meant to be the caretaker shepherds who kept the sheep safe, kept God's people safe until the true shepherd would come. Jesus, in contrast to these Pharisees, says of himself, verse 14, he says, "I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." Jesus not only says that he is the good shepherd, but proves himself to be the good shepherd. How? By laying down his life for the sheep, by putting his body on the line. I wonder whether you knew that King David, who is one of the most famous kings in the Old Testament, is also one of the most famous shepherds of the Old Testament. And he is a precursor to Jesus. And I wonder whether you knew what kind of a shepherd David was. He was the kind of shepherd who wrestled lions with his bare hands. A lion famously took one of David's sheep, and David chases after the lion. He grabs the sheep out of the lion's mouth, and then when the lion comes after him to eat him, he grabs the lion by the mane, wrestles it to the ground, and kills it with his bare hands. That is shepherding 101, isn't it? It's amazing. So when Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd," he is talking about the wrestling lion kind of shepherd. But he is not the kind of shepherd who wrestles lions to the ground. He is the kind of shepherd who wrestles sin and death to the ground, who rescues us out of the mouth of death by crushing sin and wrestling Satan to the ground on the cross. So you don't need to look at movies or paintings to understand the kind of shepherd that Jesus is. You just need to look at the cross. Just need to look back at Easter Friday, Good Friday. And the question is, when you have this correct kind of view of Jesus as the good shepherd, the question is why wouldn't you follow this Jesus? Why wouldn't you follow this Jesus? You see, when you have the manicured, pedicured, Gucci kind of Jesus in your head, hard times will come, suffering, struggles, sin, and death will come prowling. And if you have that manicured Jesus as your shepherd, he would just run away. He would just run away, just like the other shepherds. He will just run away and leave you to other shepherds. Shepherds like financial security. Shepherds like just thinking positively. In the name of Christ, ever hear that? Well, we're thinking positively. The shepherd who is always looking on the bright side of life. The shepherd who makes the most of life while you can. Ever hear those things in hard times? See, those shepherds promise much. They promise much, and everyone talks about those shepherds. But those shepherds, when the real test comes, when death is at the door, when the letter hits the doormat from the doctors, When the news, bad news comes, those shepherds just flee. They won't stick around. They're just hired hands. And what's more is we are paying their wages. We are feeding those shepherds with the lies of our lips, with the empty philosophies of our world. See, only Jesus is the good shepherd. Only he is to be trusted. Only he is to be followed. Verse 14 of chapter 10, I know my own, and my own know me. To those who are his, he makes the most extraordinary promise. Makes the most extraordinary promise. That's our second P this morning. See, at the center of this brilliant chapter and this brilliant section, we get verses 9 and 10, and this utterly, utterly brilliant, glorious promise. He says this. Jesus says, I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. This promise that Jesus drops in chapter 10 of John's Gospel is the culmination of a big promise that is made back in Ezekiel chapter 34, where God says he will come and gather the sheep. He will come and heal the sheep. He will come and feed the sheep. He will come and unite the sheep. Jesus says, I am he. I'm the gate, he says. Whoever enters me will be saved. He promises that whoever comes to him will be saved, and not only be saved, find pasture. And he underlines that imagery by saying that he has come to give us life and give it to us abundantly. Now, I don't know what it feels like to be a hungry sheep needing green pasture. I've never been a sheep. I never will be a sheep. But I know what it feels like to be a hungry human. I know what it feels like to be hungry for purpose and hungry for meaning and hungry for fulfillment and hungry for security and hungry for relationship and hungry for exhilaration in life and in excitement in life. You know what it feels like to be hungry for those things. And some of us here will spend our entire lives hungry for that stuff, looking for that stuff and never finding it, because we're looking in the wrong field. We're not looking in Jesus' field. We're looking in the field of the world. We're looking in the field that everyone else around us is looking in. There'll be some here today who are hungry now, who will be hungry tomorrow, who will die hungry. Know today that Jesus offers to feed you the good stuff, to take you to the field where you will not go hungry, to eat and never be hungry, to drink and never be thirsty. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus as your good shepherd, know the promise that he holds out to you this morning. To feed you, to save you, to fulfill you, to bring about fulfillment and satisfaction for those deep longings that we have deep in our soul. See, the life that Jesus is talking about, this life abundantly, is eternal life. It's eternal life, and it answers and satisfies all our deepest needs. Our kids play a computer game, and there are two modes on this computer game. It's one of those shoot 'em up computer games, and there are two modes. There is one mode where you go into it, and when I go into it, I die within 10 seconds because I'm rubbish and I'm a dad and I shouldn't play computer games. And there is another game, another mode that you can put on, and you don't die, and you just go around this world, and you have fun, and you build stuff, and you explore, and you cannot die. Do you know what that mode is called? It's called creative mode. See, friends, when Jesus promises us eternal life, Eternal life doesn't start the day after they turn the machine off at the hospital. Eternal life starts now, the moment we start to trust Jesus. And Jesus not only hands us a kind of get out of hell free card, he offers us eternal life, which starts now. And just like the kids play creative mode, knowing that we will not die, Jesus offers us a life where we can be creative, where we can explore, where we can switch ourselves into creative mode and know the full experience of life the way that God intended it to be. Death was never meant to enter God's good creation. It is the result of us rebelling against God. Jesus offers us eternal life so that we can live a life without the cloud of death hanging over us. So we can experience life. We can experience life. We can live life to the full, following the shepherd, doing the business of the shepherd, with the shepherd, serving him, following him, doing what he wants. And that life is exhilarating. It is exhilarating. If you hear and you know the good shepherd and you think that eternal life starts when you die, know that it starts now. Know that Jesus turns on creative mode and that transforms everything. As we follow him, it transforms the way that we do friendships. It transforms the way that we do finances. It transforms the way that we do holidays. It transforms the way that we live day in, day out, in the macro and the micro, from the conversations that we have in the street to how we make the big decisions of life. Talk to anyone who's been a Christian wholeheartedly following the Good Shepherd for any length of time, and they will tell you that that is life abundant. It's not a breeze. Suffering does not stop when we start following Jesus. The bad news still comes. But Jesus is with us as the Good Shepherd, fighting for us, protecting us, keeping the cloud of death away from us, so that we will know life to the full. He promises life to the full. So friends, use your life to the full. Experience it to the full. Don't be waiting for eternal life. It starts now. That is a promise. Finally, this morning, I want us to take away a proposal. A proposal. Verse 14, Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me." See, this passage is not just in our Bibles so that we would know about the Good Shepherd. It's in our Bibles so that we would know the Good Shepherd. There will be people here who know about the Good Shepherd. There will be people here who have read about him, who have got posters, probably got that poster on the wall, who know the Good Shepherd, about the Good Shepherd. But the Good Shepherd makes a proposal to us this morning. He makes a proposal and says, "Follow me." Not out of religious compulsion, not out of guilt, not out of fear, but out of who he is. The Good Shepherd who fights for us and saves us and takes us to green pastures. When I proposed to Kim, I gave her a diamond ring. I spent a month's wages on this diamond ring in the hope that she might say yes. And she did say yes. The Good Shepherd makes a proposal to each and every one of us this morning. And he doesn't give us a diamond ring. He gives us his life. The most expensive thing this world affords. He says, "I will lay down my life for the sheep." The life of the King of the universe. When God says he will come as the Good Shepherd, he comes as the person of Jesus, the King of the universe, to die at the hands of those he would die to save. And he gives us that proposal. He gives us his life willingly. so that we can sing one of the most famous psalms in the Bible, Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You know, there is only one person in history who can sing that psalm with all authenticity and with all sincerity. That is the Good Shepherd. That is Jesus, because the Lord was his shepherd first. We can sing, the Lord is my shepherd. He hands us this psalm. He hands us this promise to us so that we can sing with all sincerity. Psalm 23, not because we're good at following the shepherd, not because we're good at trusting or walking through the valley of death, shadow of death, but because he has done it first, and he hands us this psalm of confidence so that we can walk with the Lord as our shepherd. There's a story that goes of a class of kids in Wales, in the United Kingdom. My mother was born in Wales. There was a class, and the Sunday school teacher was teaching this class Psalm 23. And she was teaching them about the intimacy that goes with being the Lord is my shepherd. And she taught them the first verse of the psalm like this. She said, what you have to do is go along your fingers with the first line of the psalm. So you say, the Lord is, when you get to your ring finger, you grab your ring finger and say, my shepherd. So the Lord is my shepherd. Do you want to try it? Go on, try it. The Lord is my shepherd. So you grab your ring finger. That is the proposal that Jesus makes to us. That the Lord is my shepherd. Not the shepherd that we know about. Not the shepherd with the Gucci toga on. But my shepherd. The Lord, the shepherd who wrestles lions to the ground. Who wrestles death to the ground. Well, one of these kids in the Sunday school class the following week went off on a Duke of Edinburgh Award hike across some hill or mountain, and the class was caught in a snap snowstorm, and they searched for the class, and they found one of the boys from this class one of the boys who was in the Sunday school class to have died. And they found his body on the moor or the mountain, wherever it was. They found his body. And when they found his frozen body, they found him clasping his ring finger. The rescuers told his parents this. The parents went to the church, to the Sunday school, and said he was described what he was doing. And they said, I don't know how he died or why he died, but I can tell you what he was thinking as he died. The Lord is my shepherd. The shepherd who wrestles for us, who fights for us, who takes the cloud of death away, who loves us enough to die for us. Will you trust him? Will you say yes to him this morning, yes, today, and the rest of your lives? Let's pray.